Well, our theme for this year, our theme for 2018 is a little statement, but of course. But of course. And I mentioned earlier in the year, I mentioned it last year, my wife and I, we were on vacation, and we ended up at this quaint little restaurant one evening, and the server came up, and she was taking our order, and somewhere in there I asked something, I don't even remember exactly what it was, but her immediate, just heartfelt response was that statement, it was but of course, and then she took off to make sure she got us whatever it was, and throughout that evening, each time that we asked for something, that was her response, this little phrase, but of course, and the service was great. It was a really good experience. But that little phrase, that little idea, it just kind of stuck in my mind. And a day or two later, I was thinking about it, and it hit me. What if I begin to live my life with God from that framework, with that attitude of just saying, but of course, God. But of course. I think about that. What if every one of us here, we were to begin to live our lives when it comes to God from that framework? Anytime that God asks us to do anything, our automatic, heartfelt response was, but of course, God. And you want me to prioritize you in my life, in my schedule, at work? But of course, God. You want me to follow you? You want me to follow Jesus? But of course, God, I want to do that. God, whatever it is that you want me to do, God, but of course, that is what I want to do with my life. Now, it would be really neat if we all lived that way. But the reality is, there are certain areas of our life where we kind of struggle a little bit with that. We kind of squirm a little bit. And instead of going, you know, but of course, God, we go, but God, what about this? But what about this? What about this other deal? And even when we know what God says in some other things, it's very clear in his word, we still find ourselves squirming. Well, what I want to do today is I want to talk about one of those areas that we get a little uptight. What I want to do is I want to talk about our stuff. I want to talk about our money. I want to talk about our finances. You see, this is really interesting, but Scripture indicates that when we follow God, we follow his ways in this one particular area of our lives. This is so interesting. When we follow God in this one particular area of our lives, he promises to bless us. In fact, it's like he throws down the gauntlet and he says, you do this one thing, I dare you, you do this one thing and see if I will not pour out more blessings on you than you can even handle. You see, God wants to bless our life. In fact, over and over and over in the Scripture, we are told that if we will live our lives, in essence, from this framework of, but of course, God, if we will live our lives loving and following God, following his truths, his principles, the guidelines that he's given us in his word, then he will bless our lives. What does that even mean? And we talk about that, you know, in church settings, in these environments. Oh, I want God's blessing. We pray for God's blessing on ourselves. We pray for God to bless other people. What does it mean to be blessed by God? To be blessed by God means to experience the tangible and the intangible favor of God on our lives. That's what being blessed is all about, experiencing the tangible and the intangible favor of God on our lives. So hang on to that. We're going to come back to that. But just imagine the scenario right here. Just imagine that you're a parent. You may be, you may not be a parent. Just imagine. Your imagination here. Imagine you're a parent and you have a child and you walk into the kitchen one day and your child is sitting there in the kitchen eating Oreo cookies. And they're just like scarfing the cookies down and you go, hey, give me a couple cookies. And your child kind of pulls the cookies back and goes, no, they're mine. And you're like, come on, you have a whole bag of a whole package of cookies there. Just give me one or two. Come on, give me one. And they're like, no, these are mine. These are mine. And you're like, what's up with that? I mean, I could go out and I could get you more cookies. Just give me one. And the whole time, they just continue. It's mine. Now, get the perspective here. They're your child. They're eating cookies that you bought, okay? they're cookies that you bought, you paid for. So the reality is they are your cookies that they're eating, Okay? They're eating your cookies. You've given them to them for them to enjoy. You're big enough where you could take the cookies away from them, but they're still sitting there going, no, mine. Now, let's just say that you continue to engage in the conversation. You go, hey, don't you understand that I have the resources? I mean, I could go out and I could buy you a ton more cookies. They're like, no, it's mine. Like, come on. We could get a truck. I could buy you a truckload of Oreo cookies. We could fill up the whole food pantry with just Oreo cookies. We could fill up the garage with Oreo cookies. Come on, won't you share a cookie with me? No, mine. Mine. It's all mine. And you know what that is? That is kind of a picture of what we do a lot of times with God. You see, the reality is everything that we actually have, we have because of God. All the stuff that we have, all the money, the job, the career that we have, even the abilities that we have to make money, we have because of God. And he could take it all away from us anytime he wanted. But the moment that he asks for just a small portion of what he has given to us, the moment that he asks for a small portion of that back, we go, mine, it's mine. We balk at this, and we start claiming sorry. When the whole time, we wouldn't have anything that we have if it weren't for God, if it weren't for him giving it to us. He could rain down more stuff on us, more blessings on us, than we would even know what to do with. But the whole time, a lot of us, we keep living our lives as though it's ours, it's all mine. So when God's the one who's given us everything we have, we keep living going, it's mine. As long as we continue to live our lives with that attitude, from that framework, we will live our lives. We will miss out on the sweet spot of God's blessing. So the big question is, how do we position ourselves to be on the receiving end of the blessings of God? How can we position ourselves to be like in the sweet spot, if you will, of God's blessing? Because some of us, we're not in the sweet spot. Some of us, we're out on the edge out here somewhere. If this is the sweet spot right here, we're out on the edge of the sweet spot, okay? We're on the periphery of the sweet spot. Some of us are outside of the sweet spot of a God's blessing in our life. So what do we do? How do we position ourselves to be in the sweet spot of his blessing? Well, first and foremost, we got to put our trust, our confidence, our faith in Jesus and what he did by dying on the cross for us. Once we've established that relationship with God, we need to live our lives following Jesus, following the ways of Jesus in our life. And here's what's important for us to get. How we handle our stuff, how we interact with our stuff, with our finances, is an indicator of whether or not we are truly trusting God. It's an indicator of whether or not he is really the priority of our lives. Now, there are probably some of you that are here today that you're kind of checking out the whole God, church, Jesus thing, the whole Christianity thing. And maybe it's because you have a friend of yours that you've, man, there's just been some really big change in their life. Or maybe it's your husband or your wife, and there's something different about them. Good different, but different since they've claimed to have established a relationship with God. And so you're kind of curious. But let's be honest, I mean, some of you, what you'd really like to do is you'd just like to have some kind of excuse to discredit everything that's going on in their life. And one of the big gripes, one of the big complaints that a lot of people have, and maybe you have this inside, is, you know, the church, that whole deal, all they want is your money. You know, all they care about is your wallet. It's just one big scam to get your money. Well, no, that's not it. The reality is that, yes, God does talk a lot about money and about finances and our stuff. But the reason he does that is because this is something that we deal with all the time in our lives. And yet for some of you, even as we're talking about it today, you're going to see, I told you. I mean, this just kind of proves my point. You know, all the church, all you guys really care about is just money. That's all you want. No, please understand. What God wants is not your money. What God wants is your heart. Because where your treasure is, or where your stuff is, where your money is, that's where your heart is. You see, how we handle our stuff, how we handle our finances is really like a window into our heart. It's a window into our soul. And we can really trust God with our stuff, with our finances, with our money, then we're going to trust God with anything and everything in our life. But for some of you, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's just, you know, this just goes to show, you know, all that the church cares about is your money. And as we talked, I mean, I understand that. I really do. That you kind of feel that way. And so as we talk today, some of what we're going to talk about, you're going to go, man, that is crazy. And you may be offended by some of it. You may get frustrated and even find yourself kind of arguing with me in your mind. And that's okay, because I really do get it. But what I want to do is I want to encourage you to try to stick in there, stick with me, because the reason that we're talking about this today is because, man, just every day of our lives, we deal with stuff. We deal with financial stuff. And so God has something to say about it. So we need to figure out what is that that God has to say. Now, with that being said, I realize that some of you are going to hear what we talk about today, and you're not going to do anything about it. And that's okay. I mean, that's up to you, what you do with it or what you don't. But realize, if we are going to live in the sweet spot of God's blessing, this is an area of our lives that we've got to look at. And so what I want to do is I want to look at Scripture and what God has to say about this. So if you have your Bible, I hope you'll look at this. So you'll see this isn't just me talking. This is actually God. This is from Scripture. So Malachi chapter 3. Now Malachi is in the Old Testament, so it's towards the, it's right up against the New Testament, right before Matthew in the Old Testament. Short little section of Scripture, just four chapters. Has some very challenging, very powerful, thought-provoking ideas in it. And Malachi, who's this prophet guy, he uses a very interesting approach. He uses like a dialogue format between a person and God. Now, what's been happening contextually at this point is that God's people, the children of Israel, they had kind of turned away from God. They turned their backs on God. So what Malachi is trying to do is he's trying to get them to turn back to God, to return to God, to get back on track with him. And so that's where we pick up in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. And this is what God says in verse 7. God says, ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. So what it's basically saying is that for years, the people had just been kind of doing their own thing. They're not following God. They're not obeying his principles and commands. And as a result, they are living outside of God's blessing. Okay? And then it goes on. It says, return to me. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. God is saying that if they're going to position themselves to be in the receiving end of the tangible and intangible favor of God, then they need to turn back to God. They need to return to him. What he's getting at is they need to begin to live God-centered lives. Okay? They need to begin to live their lives not their own way, but they need to begin to live God's way. What he's saying is they need to obey God's principles, the truths, the guidelines that he's given us. They need to trust God wholeheartedly. That's how we return to God. We begin to live trusting him, trusting in his ways. And then look at what it goes on and says. But you ask, how are we to return? So God says they need to return, and they're like, we need some clarification here. I mean, how is it that we return to you? How is it that we get our lives in sync, in harmony with God again? And that may be where some of us are, where you are today, is you realize when you're honest with yourself, you kind of drifted from God. How do you get yourself back in sync? How do you get yourself back in harmony with him? And at this point, the dialogue kind of takes an interesting turn. There's a twist as we go into verse 8. So look at what it says in verse 8 here. Will a mere mortal rob God? It goes on. It says, will a mere mortal, will a person rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? God says, they've been robbing from him. And their response to that is like, what? You know what? I mean, we're not robbing from you, God. We wouldn't do that. We're not thieves. I mean, just think about it. I mean, they're probably shocked at what's being said here. They're like, we're just not thieves. I mean, how many of us think of ourselves as thieves? We don't think of ourselves as thieves. We think of ourselves as good people. Certainly not robbing God, stealing from God. So they ask, how do we rob you, God? And look at the answer. In tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. God says, when you don't bring the tithes and you don't bring the offerings, we are robbing from him. And that's like, whoa. Now, I want to try to be as sensitive as I can here, but some of us, we need to face reality here. Some of us have never really thought of ourselves as thieves. I mean, never, never, ever. I mean, we've thought of ourselves as good people. Not perfect, but we think of ourselves as good, honest people. But some of us, we have been robbing from God. Not from just anybody, not from just the extra change jar, but we've been robbing from God. And we've been robbing from God our whole lives. Now, the word tithe here literally means 10%. That's what the word tithe means. It means 10%. That's what it is. Not whatever spare change you have or spare dollars you have laying around or you have in your pocket or in your wallet or in your purse or whatever. The word itself means 10%. Not 3%, not 5%, not 8%. It means 10%. So the tithe is a 10%. And then our offering, different, there's a tithe, 10%, and then our offering is anything that we give above and beyond the tithe. So it goes on in verse 9, and it says, you're under a curse, which is really strong right there. But he says, you're under a curse, the whole nation. Why? Because you are robbing me. And he repeats that statement, which makes us kind of uncomfortable a lot of times on the inside. But he says, then he goes on in verse 10 and says, bring the whole tithe. Don't save it, okay? Don't spend it. Bring the whole tithe. Bring the whole thing, not just part of it. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And just pause right there. The storehouse there, clarification, the storehouse was in the temple. And the temple was a place where they worshiped. So the equivalent today would be the church, a place where we gather together. So apparently what it's saying is that tithing is not just giving to whatever. It's not just saying, well, I'm going to give 1% to this person over here that I know that needs some help, and I'm going to give 2% to this school, I'm going to give 2% to this other organization, then I'll give 5% to the church. It's great to give to different organizations, to different needs. We need to do that. In fact, the Bible calls us to live generous lives. But the tithe is what we bring to the church, to a place where we worship, where we have chosen to connect with others, to make a difference in our world. So it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And look at this. This is amazing. This is powerful stuff. Test me in this. Look at this. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. God, it's like he throws down the gauntlet and he says, test me. In essence, what he's saying is, I dare you. He's saying, I dare you. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God says, I will bless your socks off. And that's what he's getting at here. And then he goes on in verse 11, and he says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. Now, we don't live in an agrarian culture, but God was basically saying, I'm going to protect your interests. I'm going to take care of you. And the vines in your fields will not drop, will not lose their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. So it's like, whoa, man. So if we want to live, what it's getting at, if we want to live in the sweet spot of God's blessing, We've got to tithe. We've got to start tithing. What it's saying is, honor God, and God will honor you. Honor God with your stuff. Honor God in your life, and God is going to honor you. Now, some think of the tithe as just kind of this Old Testament thing. But right before the verse we started with, in Malachi 3, verse 6, God says, I, the Lord, do not change. He doesn't change. I mean, it's not like the percentage change at some point. And yet some will try to say, well, but that's just part of the Old Testament law. That's just part of the Old Testament commandments. That doesn't really relate to us because we're under grace. Really? I mean, in the Old Testament, like it says, we're not to murder. But now that we're under grace, it's okay to murder? And in the Old Testament, it says we're not to commit adultery. But now that we're under grace, which is what Jesus did by dying on the cross, now it's okay to commit adultery? No, that's not what Scripture teaches. Under grace, the bar always gets raised. The bar goes up, not down. Under grace, we have the freedom to tithe and to give above and beyond the tithe. You see, what God wants as followers of Jesus is he wants us overflowing, living our lives just overflowing with generosity. That's the lifestyle that God wants us to be living in our life. Now, let me give you kind of a visual of this whole deal. I've asked someone to help me out here. John is going to help me out, so he's coming up here. And what I've asked John to do is I've asked John to bring me $100. You can come on over here and bring me the $100. So he's going to count it out. I'll count it out. I'll make sure it's all here. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, $100. Okay, so I asked John to bring me $100. And the reason that he was so quick to bring me the $100, no problem at all, bring me the $100, because $100 isn't really your $100, is it? No, the $100, I gave John the $100, okay? So I gave it to him. So he's really just bringing me the $100 that I gave him. He's bringing me my $100. Now, that's all he knew he was going to do up here, okay? So he doesn't know any of the rest of this. But here's kind of what the point that I'm trying to make here. In essence, God has given us everything that we have. 100% of what you have, which is equivalent to the $100 right here. What he asks us to do is just to give a tithe, just 10% to him. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take this. I gave him the $100. God gives us everything that we have. And then he asks us to give a tithe. So this is going to be your tithe. And here, I'm giving you back the 90. He didn't know that I was going to do that. That's yours, okay? So you can use that any way you want. You can go out. You can eat a bite. You can put it back in savings. You can pay off credit card debt. If you've got that, you're a young guy, you can pay for some of your college books or whatever. But that's yours. Just kind of use it wisely, okay? That's yours. You can go have a seat, man. Thanks. Give him a hand. Give John a hand. Yeah. He didn't know he was going to get $90 out of just walking up here. That right there, that is kind of a visual. That's a visual of what God does in our life. He gives everything that we have. God gives it to us. And then after he gives it to us, he says, but all I want you to do is I want you to bring me 10%. Use the rest wisely. Honor me with all of it. But bring a tithe. Bring the 10% to me. But it's really all God's. I mean, look at what Scripture says. We're going to throw this verse up on the screen. Psalm 24, verse 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, everything you think you own, it actually belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. Everything we think is ours actually belongs to God. It's all his. It's all actually God's. And look at this next verse, Deuteronomy 8:18. The first part of that verse says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. He's the one that he gives us everything. He's the one that gives us the ability that we have to even make money. And when we really, really understand that, it will change our whole, I'm just saying, it will change everything. It will change your whole outlook on money. It will change your outlook on stuff. It will change your outlook on your life. When that truth, that concept really gets ingrained and internalized on your heart, everything you have, it's not really yours. It's God's. God has given it to you. He has given it to you on loan for you to take care of on his behalf, for you to manage on his behalf. Out of gratitude, out of love, out of loyalty, out of devotion to him, he says, what I want you to do, I'm going to give you all that you have. What I want you to do is I want you to bring 10% of that. I want you to bring the tithe to me. And then he says, use the 90% wisely. Bring me the tithe, but then use the rest. Use the 90% to honor me. Put some back in savings. Pay off your bills. Live within your means. But honor me with what you have. And he says, when you do that, I will pour out so much blessing on your life that you won't be able to contain it. You see, when we choose to honor God by bringing him the tithe, and realize, I mean, God could have, he could have said, bring 20%. It's up to him. He could have said 50%. He could have said 70%. He just said, bring the tithe, just 10%. When we bring the tithe, we bring 10%, God promises to bless us in tangible and in intangible ways. We'll be blessed financially. We'll be blessed relationally, professionally. We'll be blessed occupationally. I mean, in all kinds of ways. In fact, some of us, we have been incredibly blessed by God. And some of us, we've never even really slowed down to see it, to really think about it. We've certainly never slowed down to thank God for it. In fact, some of us, we live our lives as though we did it all ourselves. Really? Now, understand, I am not saying, and Scripture doesn't teach, that if you tithe whatever, $50 or $450 or $120 or whatever it is that you tithe, the Scripture does not teach that if you tithe that you're going to become a multimillionaire, you know, that you're going to be able to have a vacation home in Hawaii and you have your own like private jet with your own little runway in your backyard. You know, Scripture does not teach that, okay? It doesn't teach, the Bible does not teach that you will never face any challenges in your life. That is not biblical Christianity. Be careful. Please be careful about that kind of teaching. It can lead to pride. It can lead to disillusionment and heartache and pain and all kinds of stuff. And the Bible doesn't teach that. But what it does teach is that God will meet our needs. And what it does teach is the closer we come to obeying his teachings in this area of the tithe and in the other areas of our life, the smoother our lives will tend to go. That's what Scripture teaches. When we pursue God and we follow him, we follow his ways, we obey his principles, his commands, the guidelines that he's given us, he is going to bless us. He's going to bless us in tangible ways and in intangible ways because you're walking in step. We're walking in sync, in harmony with him. We are honoring him in our lives. We are living our lives in alignment with the way that he intended for us to live our lives. So the big question is, are you living on the 90% that's blessed? Or are you living on the 90% or the 100% that's cursed? You see, if we want God's blessing on our life, if we want to live in the sweet spot of God's blessing, we've got to tithe. Now, some people hear all this and go, see, I told you. All they care about is your money. All they want is your wallet. That's all this is all about. No, what I want is for you to be able to live in the sweet spot of God's blessing. That's where God wants us living our lives. Listen, if you never give a dime, or if you just come and you tip God every once in a while, the church, it's not going to disappear. It's not going to quit existing because of that. God's kingdom isn't going to implode. It isn't going to fall apart. You know, it isn't going to cave in. Your, you know, whatever, your $10 gift or $100 or $1,000 or whatever it is, it isn't going to make or break God. But if you don't give, what it will do is it will keep you from living in the sweet spot of God's blessing. You'll miss out on what God has for your lives. Now, while tithing is the foundation, it's the starting point for getting our finances in order, Scripture actually has multiple other principles. So I want to wrap up today talking about several principles that God has in his word related to our finances that allow us to experience financial freedom, financial health, financial wholeness in our life. However, let me throw out this warning. If you were to go, well, I'm just going to kind of pick and choose from these different biblical principles that we're going to look at. But, you know, this whole tithing thing, I don't know about that one. I think I'll kind of leave that one out, but I'm going to pursue these others. What that may help you do is you may make some strides in your finances if you apply these principles to your life, but you'll be missing out on living in the sweet spot of God's blessing. If you want God's blessing in your life, you want his blessing on your finances, you want his blessing on your relationships, you want his blessing on your career, then we need to bring the tithe to him. And that's the first principle. Bring the tithe. Bring the tithe to God. So we've just talked about that one. The Bible says the first 10% of everything I make, I need to bring it to God. Please understand, not the leftovers, not like the last 10%, but the first 10%. You see, if you pay all your bills and you take care of all your financial obligations and you go out and you have some fun with your money, and then you look at your account and you go, wow, this is pretty cool. I've got 10% left over. I think I'm going to give that to God. I mean, that's great. You're giving 10%. That's not really truly the tithe, because the tithe is the first 10% right off the top, because here's what God wants. This is why this is important. God wants us living by faith. And so he says, I want you to bring the first 10%. If you bring in the last 10%, that doesn't take faith. You've already taken care of all the needs. You just happen to have a little leftovers. So, hey, God, I'll give you the leftovers. God says, no, I want you living by faith, because it's as we live by faith that tithing takes our spiritual life to a whole nother level. And what we begin to understand is we begin to understand how great and how powerful and how faithful God is in our lives. I mean, somehow God is able to take the 90%, and the 90% is able to go further than the 100% when you're tithing to God. I don't understand that, to be honest with you. I don't understand that math. That just doesn't compute for me. But somehow, when we give the tithe to God, he blesses the 90% and it goes further than the 100%. So we need to bring the tithe to God. And as you, I mean, we've had so many families, so many individuals in our church that they have done this. They've taken God's dare, this test. They said, I'm going to do that. And it's taken their spiritual life to a whole nother level. You see, when we tithe, what it is, it's an acknowledgement, in essence, that everything I have is really God. It's just kind of a reminder for us each time we tithe. God, the truth is, I realize everything I have is yours. And it's an opportunity to express our thanks, our gratitude to God for what he's done in our lives and for what we have, the stuff, the blessings that we receive in him. It's an opportunity to say thank you for sending your son Jesus into this world to die on the cross so I could experience forgiveness and a new life with you. It's an opportunity to say, God, you really are number one. You are the priority of my life. And God, I'm going to trust you. God, I don't even understand how all this works, how you can make 90% go further than 100%. But God, I am going to trust you in this area of my life. So number one, we bring the tithe to God. Number two, we need to plan our spending. We need to plan our spending. And how do we do that? How do we plan our spending? B-U-D-G-E-T. Okay, budget. May not be fun, may not be sexy, may not be fun, may not be all that fancy stuff, but what we need is a budget. I mean, that's what a budget is all about. What a budget is it's about planning our spending. So we need to set up a budget. We need to plan for our spending. The Bible says, Proverbs 27 says, we're to know the condition of our flock. Now, we don't probably have a flock. You're not a shepherd. You're probably not a rancher, a farmer, most of you anyway. So for most of us, what this means is we need to know what we have. Okay, we need to know what our assets are. And then secondly, we need to know how much we make. We need to know how much we're bringing in. And then third, we need to know how much we're paying out. Okay, so we need to keep up with that. We need to know the condition of our financial affairs. I mean, can you imagine getting a car without a fuel gauge? I mean, that would be nuts. Just have to go be driving along, just kind of doing it all by feel. Well, I think I can go further. I don't know. Do I have enough? Will I make it? Will I not? I don't know. I mean, the reason we have fuel gauges is so we know how much fuel we have. And so we know when we need to fill up. But it's as though a lot of us are going through life without a financial gauge. Because what a financial gauge is what a budget is basically a financial gauge for us. What it does is it keeps us out of trouble, like a fuel gauge keeps us from running out of fuel. The budget is like a financial gauge that keeps us from getting into trouble. It helps us prioritize our spending and make sure that our money is going where we want it to go. It helps spouses be on the same page. But we got to stay on it. We've got to come up with it, but we've got to stay on it and realize, and please understand, impulse spending will just totally mess us up. Impulsive spending is a budget wrecker. I mean, it does. It is a budget buster. It just wrecks everything in the area of planning your spending. So safeguard yourself in the areas of your life that you know that you tend to be impulsive. And just be honest with yourself. Like for me, I know one of the areas for me I tend to be impulsive is when it comes to sports equipment. You know, if I'm getting into a sport or if I'm when it's one of the sports I do, man, I want good stuff. I want the best if I can get that. That's just kind of it can bust the budget for me. So I got to be careful in that area. What is it for you? I mean, just think through that. No, be honest with yourself. I mean, it may be cooking stuff, cooking utensils or supplies or whatever. It may be the latest in technology. Some technology gizmo deal that's come out. Maybe it's clothes, maybe it's shoes, purses, you know, whatever. Maybe it's something for your Harley, you know, you want to work on your Harley and get it all fixed up. But know what those areas are of your life where you tend to be tempted to be impulsive, and don't allow that to wreck your budget. So we need to bring the tithe, we need to plan our spending. Number three, we need to get rid of debt. We need to get rid of debt, specifically consumer debt. Say no to debt. Understand, the money monster wants to gobble you up. I mean, he's coming after you. And the money monster disguises himself in plastic, as in credit card plastic. So watch out for it. We need to get rid of debt. What we need to do is we need to make a commitment to live within our means. We need to make a commitment to live within our means. Learn to be content with what you have. Learn to admire without having to acquire. And learn to pay as you go. The Bible says the borrower is the lender's slave. So don't enslave yourself to debt. And we can drown in the seas of debt. So if you can't pay off your credit card in full at the end of every month, man, just do away with it. Go to a debit card. Learn to live within your means. I mean, there's so many individuals, so many couples, so many families that are just overwhelmed with just this heavy load of debt. Get yourself some help. Get yourself on an aggressive repayment plan and pay that debt off. Get rid of the consumer debt. So get rid of debt. So we need to bring the tithe, plan our spending, get rid of debt. And then number four, save for the future. Save for the future. Say no to debt and yes to savings. They say no to debt and yes to savings. Discipline yourself to consistently put part of every paycheck back in savings. Just do it. Every time you get paid, just put it back in savings. The Bible says what we need to do is we need to be like little ants. You ever seen little ants? They go out and they get stuff to save up for the future. It says that's how we need to live our lives. Now, for years, Christian financial advisors have recommended a very simple but very powerful financial plan. It's called the 10-10-80 plan. We've talked about that before for years here. A 10-10-80 plan. Here's how it works. You bring the first 10%. That's the 10%. That's the first one. First 10%. You bring that to God. That's the tithe. You bring that to God first thing, right off the top. You don't think about it. You don't argue in your mind. You just do it. You bring it to God because you want and because you need God's blessing in your life. So first thing you do, you bring the first 10% to God. God actively involved in your finances. Number two, the second 10%, you put in savings. You put that back in savings, not in some like mad money account type deal that you're going to then blow a little bit later, but you put that back, you take another 10% from your paycheck and you put that in savings for a rainy day. You put that in savings for retirement. And then you live on the rest. You live on the 80%, living, asking yourself, what's the wise thing to do, God? How can I honor you with a 10%? Now, when you begin to do that in your life, when you begin to tithe and you begin to put some money back in savings and you begin to live honoring God with your finances, living within your means, what's going to happen? You're going to be blessed. But God doesn't just bless us for ourselves, for our own good. He blesses us so that we can turn around and then we can bless others. But a lot of us are so deeply in debt, we are so financially strapped, that it is limiting us in immense ways as to how we can help other people. But if you will get on a simple plan like this 10-10-80 plan, or a slight variation of this, I'm telling you, it is so powerful, and it will free you up financially, and you will find yourself in a healthy financial place, a place of financial wholeness. But not only will you be freed up financially, but you will be freed up to bless others and to help others in your life. My wife and I, we've been on this plan for years in our life. We brought our kids up, teaching them this plan so they could get on this plan. So here's my challenge for you. And I know that this is hard. And it may make you nervous and uptight. But here's a challenge. For the next 2 months, try this. Put God to the test. One time in Scripture that God says, test me, is this right here. He says, you test me. I dare you. Right? So he throws down the gauntlet. He says, I dare you to test me in this area of your life. You bring the tithe. You bring the 10% and see if I will not bless you more than you can even handle. Honor me. And I will honor you in this area of your life. And I just want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. It takes a big step of faith. But say, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't know how this works. I don't know how the 90% can go further than the 100%. But God, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to say, and just try God. Put God to the test. He says, I dare you. And do it. And when you do, when you begin to honor God, and you begin to live loving God, honoring him, devoted to him, following his ways in this specific area, in the other areas of your life, following these other financial principles as well. As you honor him, he will honor you. And as you do, you will find yourself living in the sweet spot of God's blessing. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your promise that when we honor you, with our stuff, with our lives, we follow your ways, that you will bless us in tangible and intangible ways in our lives. Some that we see very clearly, some that aren't easy to see. But we'll know that you're actively involved in our lives, in our finances, in our stuff. God, I pray that you would give individuals courage they need to take this challenge, take this dare. You throw out. You say, I dare you. I dare you to do this. God, I understand. I realize there's some that are probably nervous and uptight about this, but I pray that they would step out in faith, trusting you, trusting that you are going to be faithful, that you are going to see them through. They would take this step in their life, and that as they do, that they will find themselves, they would find themselves in the sweet spot of your blessing. But God, even more important, is a reality that every one of us owe you another debt. That you sent your son, Jesus, into this world to pay that debt by dying on the cross. We owe a debt because of sin, the wrongdoing in our lives, because of our pride, our selfishness. And what God wants, I want you to know today, even more than he wants you to find financial freedom and wholeness and health, is he wants you to be spiritually free and spiritually whole. And if you've never applied the payment that Jesus made for the debt in your life to your life, you can do that right here, right now. In your heart, would you pray and say, God, I realize that I have messed up. I've sinned. God, there's been pride in my life. There are things I'm ashamed of. God, forgive me for thinking that money, that stuff, that would meet my deepest needs. I know that it won't. I know that what I need is you. So I want to center my life in Jesus. Today I'm placing my faith, just express that, God, I'm placing my faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross. I receive your gift of forgiveness. Pray you'll bring wholeness, freedom into my life. I want to follow you. God, thank you that you care not just about our finances, but even more importantly, you care about our lives, and you want us to live whole and free. God, may we live in the sweet spot of your blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.